Thank you, Vicki, Shelley, and Chrissy. Keep telling those three, make a little CD, okay? And then I'll be your promotion person, along with anybody else who sang today. It was really a blessing, and many other good singers. One of the real good things that happens around here is normally at 9:45 is a bunch of adults show up, and children and teenagers, and we have kind of a back-to-school time. I don't know if you ever woke up and said, boy, if I was back in 10th grade, you know, what I wouldn't do if I had a chance to have a do-over. Or maybe you'd say, I definitely wouldn't go. That's all right. But for Sunday school, we do have a chance to say, boy, I have a chance to be close to God and be close to other people. And we have wonderful teachers at all age levels. I get to hang out mostly with the adult teachers, and they all do a good job. I think there's an insert in your bulletin today. Is there not a purple one? And the teachers, they put their heart and soul into the lesson. They'll share their heart and soul with you. And so if I could recommend them to you personally, I know them personally. I know they love Christ really in a strong way, and I know they will love you right where you're at. So if you want to check them out, there's Joe and John and Shelley and Connie and Mark and Bill. Did I hit them all? That was in the bulletin. Great. And jump in there and get to know those folks and get to know God's Word in a real clear manner. And then they're all better teachers than me, so jump in there and enjoy them if you would. One of my favorite stories that Jesus tells is when a man comes to worship and he's not feeling close to God at all. He's not feeling close to anybody else for that matter. And he doesn't lift his head up to heaven or to look around or even to God himself. But he bows down, mostly his head looking forward. He puts his hands probably on his face, and he hits his chest because of the pain and grief that he feels in his soul. You know, when we get pain in our soul, it's really, really difficult to fix or to cure. In fact, human beings just can't do it on their own. If we get a broken bone, if we have aches and pains, doctors are fantastic. We got the surgery thing, we got the aspirin thing, but pain in the soul, only God can touch that. And so if you're like a man who came to worship, Jesus said he was there, couldn't do much, wasn't feeling real comfortable about the whole thing, but he did pray this prayer, Jesus said. He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I'm sure he said, you know, Jesus' story, not in a real audible way. He was far from where everybody else was. But he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said about that man that he went home that day 100% at peace with God. 100% at peace with God. And he had an absolute certainty that he would go to heaven when his life was over. Because the mercy of Christ would take him there. Now, how did God do that for that man? And could that be the story of your life? It could be. Jesus would say it would be likely that might be the story of your life. And so what happened to the man and how did Jesus change him? We're going to look at that for just a little bit. And remember, the man was not what we would call a religious man, didn't know prayer, didn't know religion, didn't know worship. But he knew, he heard God was merciful, and he knew he was a sinner, and he knew he needed mercy. Do you ever feel like you need mercy? You need it from God. And so that Jesus told a good story. That's a good story. Could be your story in that way. And there's another story that the Bible tells. It's about a man named Paul. And Paul is he's a tiger of a guy, kind of opposite mentality of the first guy. He is very religious. He goes to worship all the time, knows the Bible cover to cover. Paul's a community leader, so he is out there. Okay. Paul, if he would run for mayor, Paul would win, you might say. And interesting, Paul, as a Bible person, as a character, a real life man, he was played in a movie back in 1981, a made-for-TV movie, got 4.5 stars, I think, called Peter and Paul. And Paul, not the man Paul played in the movie, but somebody played Paul. And the guy who played Paul, it was Anthony Hopkins. I'm not a great movie goer or movie guy, but Anthony Hopkins, I'm aware enough to know he played probably a decade or two ago in the movie, kind of a horrible, gross, messed up movie where the bad guy wins, Silence of the Lambs. Okay, so here's Anthony Hopkins, real evil personified kind of guy, years before playing the Apostle Paul, who would be one of the greatest men in history. Big contrast there. And, you know, it was quite a shock when you think about that. But inside Paul's soul, the historical Paul, inside his soul when he was walking around for half his life, he felt very much like the guy in the story that Jesus told. When the day was over and his head hit the pillow, on the inside, he felt empty, he felt lonely, he felt angry, and he felt isolated from God and from the people around him. I mean, that's just where he was. And so, and at the root of it all, Paul, the historical figure, said this in his mentality. He said, I don't need Christ, and I don't need God's mercy. And many times in life, that's where our soul is. I do not need Christ, and I do not need God's mercy. And so that's Paul, a little bit of contrast to the first guy. But Jesus is very kind to Paul, and Jesus introduces himself to Paul, and we would know him as the Apostle Paul. And he has a new life with Christ, a change from a soul that's very broken to a soul that begins to be put back together by the kindness and grace of God. And Paul, when he was writing to a group of people, he said, look, I'm going to pass on to you what's of first importance. Christ died for our sins. There was a purpose behind his death on the cross. He died in our place. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He beat the biggest enemy that we're going to face, a real enemy, concrete enemy in history, death itself. And he rose from the dead. And he appeared to me. He appeared to 500 people at the same time. This is not, you know, a group illusion over here. This is something that's really happened. And Paul said, based on my experience with a risen Christ, based on concrete evidence beyond a shadow of a doubt, and based on observation, I want to tell you that Jesus is Lord, and his mercy is available to all of us. He's a risen Savior. And the things that Paul said about Christ after Jesus introduced himself to Paul were simply amazing. All the songs today, about half the verses were kind of paraphrased by Paul, the guy who was pretty much a religious hack. He had a lot of things going for him, but he felt he didn't need Christ. But his life was changed by Christ, began to follow Christ, and said things about the Lord that you'd have to say, well, I wonder if that's true. Jesus changed his life. He said Jesus was his peace. Jesus was his goodness. Jesus was his strength. Jesus was his eternal life. So he would have life for God with God now and forever. And Jesus was his gift of heaven. In other words, Christ would get him to heaven, and there'd be no other way he was going to get to heaven. And that was the Apostle Paul. Okay, religious tough guy, turned into a wonderful follower of Jesus. And God gave Paul 25 years of courageous living with a new life with Christ. And I'm thankful to say, just if I could talk to you one-to-one, I'm thankful to say that Jesus, who changed Paul's life, and God, who changed the guy's life in Jesus' story, you know, who was couldn't look up and said, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, that Lord, I've seen him change hundreds and hundreds of people's lives, really has. And by the grace of God, he's changed my life. even though I've received him imperfectly and follow him imperfectly. He has changed my life and continues to do so. I feel like Augustine said about the Lord, our hearts are restless till we find our rest in the Lord. I feel like another guy who said, boy, each one of us has a God-shaped emptiness that only God can fill. You know, when you're hungry for a reason. Your body's saying, give me some food, the donut, the hot dog, and whatever, and something healthier later. Your body's telling you that. Your soul is saying, you need Christ. The emptiness is there for a purpose, so that you might receive him. And the Bible says this about your story with God. God loves you 100%. He's faithful to you. He wants to give you everlasting life with him that begins now. And I, when I share these things with you, you should know and you should ask the people who come here. They would say, oh, you know, his personality is not given to exaggeration when it comes to the Lord. If anything, he lacks a little bit of enthusiasm. I would say that about myself. If there's anything that's true, I sell God short. I'm not as enthusiastic as I need to be. And my faith in him is not as strong as it could be. So when I tell you that Christ can change your life, you know it's 1,000 times more true than what I'm telling you. Okay? Because of the goodness of God. And the Bible says this, that Christ toward us is like some of the following slides. And I might let you chip in on this if God leads. But this is Christ's attitude toward you and I. Whether we're brokenhearted or whether we're self-sufficient. He's standing at the door of our life and he's knocking and he's saying, I want in. I'm inviting myself into your life. Are you going to open that door? Okay. That's the most important knock you'll ever hear. You have to hear it in your soul that Jesus is coming for you. Here's another picture of Christ, how he feels about you. Here's a man bowed down, you know, barely able to make it. Walking, here's somebody running toward him with open arms. Jesus told that story. This is God coming toward you. Here's another picture. I wonder if people, and I didn't plan on doing this until 10 minutes ago. I wonder if anybody here would be able to say out loud a one-word sermon about this depiction of the Lord. This is, again, a retelling of the Lord welcoming somebody to him. One word picture, just say it out loud. I'll try to repeat it with the microphone. Too many at the same time. Caring. Love. Forgiven. Comfort. Unconditional prodigal son. There's strength there. That's God towards you now. Don't just slough it off as some artist rendition. This is what Jesus said. This is the way God is. Here's another picture. Kindness toward the vulnerable. You know, and sometimes our soul is like a child toward God. God knows that. He says, come on, let's grow together. Let's have life together. Any words on this one? Any agricultural people out here? Give me a word. Young people, give me a word. Guidance. I want you in my class. Protection. Say that again. Safety. Thank you. Strength. I see strength. The Lord's strength on behalf of. There we are. We're going to get eaten unless the Lord protects us. Okay. Trust. He is with us. He is among us. He is for us. He's not beating on us, is he? Is he beating on those sheep? Does he look like he would beat them? Only if they would need it. No. He would. He would get them toward himself first. Maybe, you know, the shepherd doesn't beat the sheep out of anger. He leads them along with that rod. Again, the togetherness of the Lord gathering. I like this one. Not only toward Christ that he gathers you, but toward other people. Look at these three. They actually look like they like each other in here. And he could change our hearts toward that, toward other people, and towards Christ himself. Let's take a walk. Let's get some rest in our soul. That's the way the Lord is to you. And then this one right here, very powerful. I'm going to give my life for you. The Bible says, greatest love expressed. One fella, he was overseas. He was from our country. Had a lot of good things going for him. He saw somebody with an illness of leprosy on the side of the road. No home, no resources. Physically very damaged and disabled in terms of not being able to take care of himself. But also some wounds in his body that were not healing. That's the nature of leprosy. May have even fallen into a fire. You know, they try to keep themselves warm. And they can't feel anything, so they fall into that which hurts them, and they don't know it's hurting them. Isn't that like sin? Well, I fell into it. I didn't know it was going to hurt me. Then I woke up the next day, and I felt like, how did this happen to me? So the man, he says, if I could get off my bike, and if I could exchange places with this guy, I'd take all his pain in my life and the wounds in my life, and I'd just take him on. I'd give him my bicycle and let him ride free. You know, with the health that I have, would I do this? He said, I would have a hard time doing this. But he thought about the Lord and he said, but that's what Jesus did for me when he was on that cross. He said, you know, the things in your life that aren't right, I'll take them for myself. I'll take the pain. I'll make it my pain. And I want to give you as much as a new life with me as you would trust me with. God will do that for you. So that's the Lord. And I want to say this. The Bible says this about God's love. This is a great picture. I love this. The Father in heaven, he's looking down at you and Jesus. Jesus standing next to you. Okay, and he says this. Jesus, do you take this sinner as your own? This really happens between the Lord and you. Jesus, do you take this sinner as your own? And Jesus says, I do. He says it loud and he says it clear. And he says it with love and invitation. He says, I do. And then the Father looks at you and I, the sinner. He says, hey, sinner, do you take Jesus to be your own? Do you take Jesus to be your own? And we could say, we only have two choices. I do or I do not. When we say, I do not, biggest tragedy we'll ever experience, pushing God out of our life. Experience of like 1 foot in hell already. I'm sure you've met people, and I have too. Their life is so under the gun, they say, I believe in hell because it feels like I'm in hell right now. And God weeps with one like that because he understands what pain is. But not only present pain, but a forever pain. If we say, I do not take this one who we saw depicted, such a one. We say, I do not take him. That's Jesus. But then we can say, I do. I do take this Jesus. Because I need his strength, his forgiveness. I need heaven. I need that enthusiasm for life I don't have on my own. And Christ gives that to us. I would say that, in my own life story. Without Jesus, I had no forgiveness, no purpose. Pretty selfish, angry guy. You didn't want to know me as somebody who didn't know the Lord. That'd fit in there with some of the real violent people in your life. But with Christ, a new life. It's all as a gift that he would change our soul toward himself. And this morning, I wanted to give all of us a chance to be like that guy in church who was saying, oh, no, I can't. And be like Paul who said, oh, I can do it. Then he realized he couldn't do it. I'm going to pray out loud with me. And only God knows your heart. So I don't care about how you know, graceful you pray it. God's not impressed with human abilities in that way. But they're from Him anyway. But if you could pray the prayer of that man who was known as the sinner. He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that's up between you and Jesus, whether you go home today 100% at peace with God and 100% certain that you're going to go to heaven only because of Christ. I wouldn't even tell you that story unless it was in the Bible, unless Jesus told it to you. I'd tell you some other story. I'd tell you, you have to be better than you are. And you don't pray enough, and you don't read the Bible enough, and you stink morally. That's what I would tell you. Jesus told a story. He said, even though the crummiest thing about you is that you don't love God or others, God would say, I love you. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I need your mercy. Up to God. God, can you help me go home and live with your peace in an imperfect manner, and you can slough around like all these other Christians, which is good with the help of God. If you pray a prayer and God gives you peace and Himself and heaven, you should know your problems don't end. New set of problems begin. They're harder. They're more difficult. But now you have a Savior. Now you'll win over these problems. Otherwise, you're going to lose all the time. So I